Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hi,
hi, petty bitches.
This is Davina Devine, little ray of sunshine.
Oh, please, get a grip. There's only clouds over there. And this is Victorian Secret coming to you live from my sitting room where it's actually 54 degrees because I'm fucking freezing. So I have all the heat on.
Oh God, you're a very cold-blooded lady, aren't you? Of all the time, I'm considering.
I'm actually quite chilly. Like I love layers.
Clearly.
Oh, it's been divine. It's been a busy little 2 weeks. You're obviously back doing all the shows, but I'm mostly excited because October 22nd is literally next week.
Is that our freedom day?
I mean, I hate the word freedom day. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, do you know what? No, no. If it's in Ireland, it'd be Law and Freedom, wouldn't it?
Oh my God, are we going to be Michaela Collins fighting the rebels?
Yeah, oh God, hang on, let me see. I'm going to go, what's freedom in Irish? Because I want to know that.
Because is that what we're going to officially call it?
Yeah,
then?
It is. It's actually Saoirse.
Oh my God, not Saoirse. Saoirse being, who was called Saoirse before? Was that DJ Anto?
No, that was me. That was Davina Saoirse Devine.
How ironic. Davina Freedom Devine.
That's me, yeah. And yeah, so we're going to celebrate on the 22nd with Saoirse Ronan Day.
Come here, are you actually excited for it? Because we've kind of feel like we've been waiting on it for 2 years and I'm buzzing. I'm ready to, I know some people keep masks. I'm ready to say goodbye to them. I don't care about them anymore. I'm done with them.
Well, I like the masks.
Do you?
I do. Do you know what I have to say? Like, so I found this little mask that is like really, this is actually so terrible. It's actually quite light, so you can really breathe through it.
Okay.
It's probably doing nothing, but it's like, doesn't fog your glasses up. It's like, you're still doing your part. You're still like playing the role. So I don't really mind the mask, and stick a pair of sunglasses on. I love walking around like the Invisible Man anyway.
Do, but also if you wouldn't mind staying in character for this podcast, because Davina actually doesn't wear glasses. You're showing your Clark Kent there, if you don't mind.
I meant sunglasses, darling.
Oh, of course.
Sorry, I'm not actually looking at you now, like, because the mic is facing this way. So if I keep looking this way, I'm going to be like crooked, just so you know. So I'm listening.
Davina, show me what jawline actually looks like. That must be nice. Oh, I wasn't blessed with a chiseled jawline. However, I have all the rest, so I'm fine.
That's what black contour sticks are for.
Oh my God. Somebody called it the other day, like a neck scarf or a polo neck. Do you know what I mean? About Ginger Minj. Cause it's literally like a really dark line.
Well, Boy George used to do that for years. He literally would just paint like his whole chin and neck black. And it actually looks kind of amazing. Like, it's because you can actually go up quite high. Mm. So you can make your face quite tiny.
Well, let's be real. Boy George would do it, as we've just seen, by being a judge on The Big Deal. I'm just kidding.
Actually, we have to say a big shout out to our good friend Lizette, who has actually danced with us and worked with us for years. She actually won the whole thing and she won 50 grand. So actually delighted for her. And you know what? Like, the show itself was, I wasn't a fan. I thought it was like the big flop more so than the big deal.
Yeah.
But I do think fair play to her. I'm glad someone we know won,
right?
And someone fab. So totally. I'm happy for her, but the show, not so much.
Well, you remember when we were Queen of Fridays and we did Spice? Mm-hmm.
Well, yes.
Lizette was tasked to try and make me dance and do a routine every Friday. So yeah. She did all right though.
She did really well.
But what I was going to say is that she actually deserves that 50 grand just for making me move. She does, actually, in any way.
That's take it as compo, Lizette. Take it as compo.
No, I saw her routines and they were amazing. However, I didn't actually see the show. Jedward looked very annoying though.
Well, I watched the very first week, I think it was. Mm. And hang on one sec. There's someone at the door. Who could it be?
Oh, bing bong. The anticipation of this. I hope it's a delivery. Like, I hope she got something very
junk
exciting.
Mail.
Oh, not junk mail.
Oh my God.
Show me.
Around my neighborhood, they knock when they put in junk mail, which is even worse.
Oh my God. Leave me in peace. It's going straight into the recycle bin anyway.
What have we got here? Let's give them a shout out. We have, who have we got? We have Strandfair Butchers, premium quality fresh meat and fish.
No, thanks.
Doesn't actually say where they are, which is bizarre. Oh, it does. They're in Dublin 4. DJ Royale. Oh, this looks kind of good. Protect your home with our CCTV packages. Oh, I'd be into that.
Oh, it also sounds like a drag queen. DJ Royale.
DJ Royale. And this is, let me see. It's Cushil. Cushil at home, which is kind of looks like to me to be like some kind of maybe Indian.
Sounds like toilet paper. Cushil at home.
Yeah, Cushil Indian. It's an Indian fusion. So yeah, so they were the ones who disturbed me. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh my God. Well, is there anything that you actually want to do on October 22nd that you haven't been able to do?
I would like to fall asleep in a urinal in peace and quiet. No, there's nothing. You know, I have to say, I feel like we've been living in one big like New Year's Eve for the whole year. Everything's just such an anticlimax, and you know, I hate forced fun, so I'm not really looking forward to it. I would be more excited about the 23rd because it's going to be the night when everyone, all those people fuck off and they're like, they're out of your hair and you can just be, you know, you can be wild.
You can be your authentic self.
You can be your authentic self with people who actually will probably be authentic for the rest of the year. So it's like these one hit wonders, like the New Year's Evers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you always have better crack the day before New Year's Eve or the day after New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking forward to leaving somewhere at closing time and actually being able to get a taxi again. Because at the moment, 11
are you
PM,
for real? That's never going to happen.
Are you
those
serious?
Days are gone. Those days are gone. Like, I was only thinking about this today. I've actually, taxis have me driven up the walls because, so obviously, since lockdown, I've been getting ready at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we always have new dress room in the George and blah, blah, blah. But I haven't actually, I've been kind of just getting dressed there and doing my makeup and stuff at home and then getting cabs. So, I've been talking to a lot of cabs more than I normally would. And they're actually all exactly the same. They just moan and gripe about how there's not enough work. Then cut to like when the pubs close, there's not a taxi man around. And for such a city that they keep putting hotels and cramming like crap into, there's no way for these people to get back to these hotels.
Yeah, I know.
Which means people are going to get mugs on the street and blah, blah, blah. It's such a contradiction.
So ridiculous. Like, I was speaking of taxis. I was in a taxi and drag on Saturday in Belfast. And when I got in, I was in half and drag, but he couldn't really tell because I had my mask on, which by the way, I didn't bring my foundation and the mask took all the top of my nose off.
Oh, no.
So I had to contour like something back on a little bit with just powder. But anyway, he was talking at me and telling me how funny he was because clearly he was like, oh, she's a drag queen, I'm gassed too, we'll get on like house fire. However, hating him, text my friend saying, oh my God, I hate this taxi man. Then all of a sudden he starts telling me all the stories about the Belfast drag queens that he's picked up and all the juicy gossip.
And did he know these queens by name?
He did. Yeah. And then I text my friend, I was like, oh, we're best friends now, absolute best friends, including one of them.
Did he say about?
Actually, no. He did say about someone that we know from a long, long time ago.
Okay.
Let me
guess.
You have to whisper it.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
That's the first three letters. Okay.
Okay, got it.
So, and someone who had like, what are those things that they put around your ankle, you know, instead of going to prison?
Oh yeah, so it's like
an ankle bracelet.
Yeah, no.
Oh my god, and all the fights that that person got into. Well, I swear to God, I was sitting there, like I needed the popcorn, I wanted the drinks. I was like, I'm staying here for the day now. Like we are best friends. While he's telling me these stories,
well, I love a bit of juicy gossip, I have to say. So yeah, so I do think that the taxi thing that needs to be addressed. But sure, like who knows what way that's going to go. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to just seeing the club full and actually seeing people like standing around doing shots and drinking.
Because
right now you can see like we've been starting our show about like 8:30 and everyone's in really good form and it feels like it's just like this kind of false reality. And then I'm looking forward to people just getting messy and dancing. And you know, people have dance offs and like just silly things. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to like, you know, being able to sit at the bar. I'm actually really looking forward to sit at the bar and do shots at the bar with like actual customers and just like have a laugh. And I enjoy that.
And seeing someone throw a drink over someone else, like I'm really living for that moment as well.
Yes, fights. I want to see fights.
Forget the germs. Just fight. It's fine.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, in other news, things that I was raging we didn't talk about last episode was Katie Price, because we are huge Katie fans. It's all going down. What the fuck is going on?
I couldn't believe that we didn't talk about it the last time, because we kind of mentioned it a couple of times and we were saying about like how she's with this new fella and you know all the drama that's going on. And then she like when we were doing the last episode, she totaled her car. She like rolled the car. She would have fit in with Erica Girardi, wouldn't she?
Oh my God.
Tom's son.
Stop. Like
Erica's son rolling her car.
So she was drunk, right? She was drink driving.
She was drink driving and she said she was going to buy drugs at like late at night, and she when they stopped her, she just was like, yeah, sorry, I'm like, I shouldn't have done it, and blah blah blah. So she just gave herself up, but like she had no choice because the car was actually after rolling into like down a country road. So she could have killed herself, or worse, she could have killed somebody else.
Yeah,
and she was banned for driving and she had no insurance. So I think that's the worst part. But the mother is like taking over her Instagram. I always think it's mad when like these celebs have their moms come on their Instagram and take over and be like, my child's not well and blah, blah, blah. And then of course, they're just straight into the Priory.
Is that where she's gone? Is it?
She's gone into the Priory. Yeah, apparently. And it's like, I think it's like £900 a night or something.
Oh, just mental. That's bargain. Like
well, she was bankrupt last year. Do you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Like, these people are always bankrupt, but always have money. I never get it.
Yeah. Sure. Come here though. Like, do you think the Priory would be cozy? Do you think it'd be like, you know, nice and relaxing?
No, I actually know a girl that went to the Priory before. Oh. Yeah, God love her. She's actually dead now. Rest in peace. So obviously it didn't really work. But,
oh God, Davina.
Sorry. But she went and she was telling me all about it, and it's really full on. It's not a hotel. It's not cushy. They take your phone off you. You're basically like kind of like a prisoner. It's like, kind of like they give you meds. They like, you know, well, if you need meds, they give you meds. And you have like therapy kind of all day.
Oh,
and
God.
Yeah, and they don't encourage you to like, kind of keep in touch with people afterwards. The kind of like, so it's really full on. It's not cushy at all. And it does cost a lot. And I think a lot of those celebs might get like a little discount because
the press,
you know, the press, like not now massive, like they still have to pay because they're still paying for like the treatment.
Yeah.
It's like, they're working with like psychiatrists and all like constantly. So it's not a cushy ride.
Oh God.
Still.
Okay. Well, thankfully us girls are like, you know, we like just a nice glass of water and a night out. We'll never need anything like that.
No. Not again.
Did you go see James Bond?
I did. I went to see James Bond.
Okay.
Did. Do you want to know the end? What happened at the end? I always love a Bond, I have to say. And I enjoyed it, but it wasn't one of the best. I think I could feel like he was over it.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a bit of a reach. The story was a bit ridiculous.
It was too long.
Way too long, and there was just a few scenes that didn't need to be in it. I just think, I don't know, maybe he should have just left it at the one before.
Yeah, I think so as well. And come here, is he wearing contacts or is his eyes that blue?
Oh no, his eyes are that blue. Do you not remember Casino Royale? I was like, oh my God, I fell in love with him then. I was like, oh God, his eyes are gorgeous.
Oh yeah.
They're like icy blue.
I know, you can't beat a blue eye. Like, and the way they kept shining the light right into them to make them even more icy.
It's that blue. It's like that icy kind of like Arctic blue is gorgeous. I don't like a deep dark blue, like a navy blue.
Oh yeah, fuck
don't
all
really
the,
care for
fuck
them.
All those people with their deep dark blue eyes. I really liked it. The car chase scenes were, I love a car chase scene. Oh,
me too. But I thought as well, she was a weird choice casting for like the love interest. I thought she was a little bit too young, and I think he just looked like, considering the Casino Royale days, like he's definitely aged.
Yeah.
Like he's still very handsome, but it was just like, it's time now for a new Bond.
I thought she was too young as well. Like it felt uncomfortable.
Who do you think will be the next? Who do you think will be the next Bond?
Is it not the girl in the film? Is the next Bond?
I don't think so. I would be surprised if it was, because they'll have to do like a big reveal. That's always a big thing. Do you know what I mean? It won't be her. I don't even know if she'll even feature in the next film. They always seem to just like have these people in like these kind of like side characters just like that never come back. Although she might be, because they kind of are rolling. But if they start with a new franchise, they might just start completely from scratch.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Michael Fassbender.
He'd be good.
He would be good.
She was actually quite good though. I liked her. I liked her. I didn't think I was going to like her vibe.
Yeah, right? she was good.
The 007, she was good. But
And imagine, like, is that a gun in your pocket, Michael? Or are you just happy to see us? Yeah. And we all know it's not a gun, hun. She's happy to see us. did you see Kim K on Saturday Night Live, her little opening monologue?
No, I didn't actually. I didn't get a chance to kind of see, but apparently she nailed it. Apparently it was pretty good.
She ripped the piss out of her mom and called her mom's boyfriend a gold digging boyfriend. Ripped the piss out of Caitlin. What else did she do? Oh, she ripped the piss out of Kanye. She tore the whole family to shreds. It was very funny. Really good. You should watch that for sure.
Yeah, like fair play. Like I'm sad, SNL is never really on here. I will. I'll check it out. But you know. Right, my priority.
Fair. Come here on Saturday. We were working in a hotel in Belfast. Actually, I did my hotel tour at the weekend. I did the Radisson Hotel in Dublin, and then the Europa Hotel in Belfast. And
chicken in a basket tour of Northern Wales.
Oh, that's the funny part. When we were doing the gig in Dublin on Friday, I was starving because it was two shows back to back. So I asked the restaurant, send us out 4 bowls of chips, please. And we were all standing at the side of the stage going, like quick. But in Belfast on Saturday, we were in the main room below, and then there was another event in a room above, and the shared toilets were in the middle, and you'll never guess who was in the room above us. Gaza. Gaza, the footballer, yeah.
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah, totally.
What was it like? Was he just at an event, or was it his event?
It was his event, and he was giving a talk, and like, and like you could hear all these football chants going on, and I was like, how hilarious. Like, we're downstairs, with drag, and he's upstairs doing football chants all at the same time, and then people meeting in the middle in the toilets, like these like footballer lads and then drag fans.
I was always obsessed with his recovery. Like, remember, it was always in the papers. Like, he'd get like fucking out from Elvis control, drunk and like rage and alcoholic, and would be in terrible states. Did you ever see the documentary about his family trying to get him into treatment?
No.
Years ago. It was very good. I was glued to it. And the son had son's allegedly a raging gay, and it was only a kid. And because he was drunk, he kept being horrible to the son. And I was going, oh God, this is just not going to end well. And then they got him in treatment and everything was going well. And then of course fell off the wagon, like really bad. Mm-hmm. And then kept like turning on the kids, like Bianca and on the son. Mm-hmm. And eventually they kind of like, it ended with him not being in treatment and kind of disappearing. And I was going, oh God, like, 'cause they were kind of saying that is his last chance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone had kind of given up on him, but he's like back. And he's doing really well. And apparently he's like really on the mend. I think he's been clean for ages. And I'm like, it's kind of brilliant, because he was such a 90s icon. Like, I'm not a big soccer fan, but everybody knew who Gaza was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you guys dated briefly in the noughties as well, which was...
Yeah, but he doesn't remember.
Oh my God. Here, speaking of iconic moments, Kylie Minogue is about to drop a new version of her album.
Oh, she's dropping it? Is she dropping it like it's hot?
It's starting November. Apparently it's called Disco Guest List Edition. She dropped her first single off it, which is with your man Ollie from Years and Years.
Oh, okay. So I actually saw this online last week, and she said coming back on the dance floor. But I honestly have to say, I thought she was just going to do that virtual show that she ripped us all off at. I thought she was going to do that again.
Yeah, he says that.
I really thought she was going to do that, like KylieXBoohoo.com, like, and just have a few random people. So this is a new, completely new thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a re-release of the album, but with extra tracks. And I presume the guest list thing means it's all these collabs with different artists. So this is a new single by Ollie. It's great, but she does drag in the video. She does.
I saw.
Yeah, she does drag king and he does drag queen, and they keep swapping. It's actually pretty cool.
I love it. I love it. Speaking of fab albums, the Spice Girls album is turning 25 this month.
Oh,
so I'm going to be having a big Spice Girl party on. It's actually going to be my first Thursday without restrictions. Oh, that's quite, isn't amazing. That kind of perfect timing? Isn't that really weird? So I feel like, you know, we were bitching and griping about the Spice Girls not having like new music. I'm just like, this is actually, it's come full circle. My favorite band is like, let me have like a little party on Thursday for their album. So we're going to have big Spice Girl Power Night on the 28th of October.
Will you perform their ultimate number one hit? That wasn't a number one. If you can't dance.
We see, well, I might do it if we can get a ramp in. We're going to need a 20 foot ramp and we're going to have to knock through into the old bar and then we might do it.
Oh my God.
Or we could do it in the car park.
Oh yeah, that's perfect. Oh my God, if you're doing that, I need to be there. I'm recording it. If four of the girls were going to get back together and it wasn't and Posh was going to be in this time, which one would you kick out?
I think I would kick her out again. It'd be Jerry, I think.
Yeah, it'd be Jerry. It'd be Jerry 2.0. Like if it was original Jerry, she'd be there.
Yeah. So that's going to happen on the 28th. We're going to have loads of fab, limited edition, special collection, Spice Girl goodies to give away. And we're going to have fab cocktails and it's going to be that's going to be my celebration back into non-restriction. So I'm actually looking forward to that. That'd be really good.
Love that. Can't wait. Yeah. I should let you know I'm now fluent in Korean. Fluent. Not just in their food, but now in their language. I have been hooked on the biggest show in the world.
Squid Games.
Squid Game. Yeah. Have you watched
Squid Games? No, I cannot bear any shows that has dubbing.
Oh, this is actually good though. It's really good. There's like 9 episodes, loads of killing and mental games.
It just brings me back to the 90s when Monkey Magic used to be on. Do you remember that?
No, what's Monkey Magic?
We saw Sky One. It was like this kind of like Japanese. Oh, there's a little message
ding,
there.
Ding.
there was, yeah, it's like this kind of like karate kind of like Japanese fight show, and the dubbing was the worst, but it was like, I see you. Like, it was just like, you have to Google it, Monkey Magic, iconic. So yeah, and I always used to hate that because like whatever program I was waiting for was like always on after, and I would just sit through Monkey Magic to the next program, you know. So I kind of resent dubbing shows ever since that.
Well, the cast are blowing up on Instagram. Like one of them had 400,000 followers before it and now has almost 20 million followers. Like,
oh my God, wow.
In the space of a week that changed. Like that's fucking crazy. Wild. She's gorgeous now. She is stunning. So I don't, like, you know, everyone's probably mad about her, but like, yeah. So I'm obsessed
with
that.
I'm obsessed with North Korea as well. It's like, do you ever see the shows where you're not allowed to go and the tourists, like they sneak in and sneak cameras and stuff?
I'm obsessed
with like just knowing what's going on and just the way everything is so hidden. It's like, it's fascinating. And you know, because I'm a nosy bitch, so I want to get to the bottom of it. So if something's being kept secret, or I'm like, what's going on in there?
Yeah, Davina fucking the Pink Panther herself. Like, do you know what I mean? I've done a YouTube deep dive a couple of times on North Korea, and there's always some fascinating things, but like, it sounds miserable. And even saying it a few times, I feel like Kim Jong-un, I'm not sure his name, will like appear in front of us and like... stop us.
And do you know what as well? I love like when they go to the barbers and they like there's a menu, there's only 6 haircuts that you can have, and you can literally just have to have one of each, and there's just a picture. I was like, and they all kind of look kind of the same.
Well, you remember that movie that was it Ryan Reynolds was in or someone like that, and it was about North Korea. Like it was a comedy, but like whatever happened, they couldn't really release it properly because the North Koreans were like going insane.
I think they could open up as like the new kind of Gran Canaria holiday destination.
North Korea.
Yeah, imagine. Imagine they had their own version, like the Yumbo Center.
Oh my God.
I'd go.
You'd go. Well, you wouldn't come back because I don't think they're that into gays. Speaking of new music, I don't know how I feel about this. David Bowie's household, or what is it called? Estate, is going to release an album on his 75th birthday. A posthumous album. I think that's how you say it. Of unreleased material. Like, he's gone. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know, but like someone like that who really kind of revolutionized music, I think like there must be so much music that has recorded. So why not share? It's like, I don't understand why there's not more of it, to be honest. Like, I'm surprised Michael Jackson hasn't come out with more. I'm surprised Whitney hasn't come out with another album. Like, it's kind of amazing that they haven't. I don't know if they just think that maybe the songs aren't good enough or maybe the songs aren't finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like Whitney with Bath Time Ballads, courtesy of Whitney Houston posthumous.
Oh my God. Songs to get you in the mood.
Speaking of music, where is the rest of this Pussycat Dolls music? Where are the rescheduled dates? What's going on? Nicole Scherzinger, get it together.
It's not going to happen. I really don't think so. And it's the one gig that I'm actually was excited about before lockdown. I was going, that's something that I want to go and see.
Yeah.
And now it's just not going to happen. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think all this controversy, I don't think it's helping. Mm-hmm. And like, I said it actually at the start of lockdown. They're going to be like old and gray by the time they're on that stage.
I know. It's all well and good for Nicole because she has like a good bit of cash behind her, but I'm sure the rest of the girls would like to make a few quid. You know what I mean?
I think one of them is on Dancing with Ice. I think I saw that today. One of them is appearing on Dancing with Ice. Yes, Dancing on Ice is still happening. I also saw that. Yeah, can you actually believe that show is still going? Yeah. I actually, like, it's actually really fucking annoying. Torv and Dean are like humanoids. They're like actually just like androids, kind of robot types. They've like, and Aaron, you know, Aaron always comments on how Jane Torval, like he hates Jane Torval and how she's like, she just has no emotion. And when he said it, I was like, kept staring at her. And it's like, she doesn't show any fucking emotion at all.
Oh
and
my
the
God.
Two of them together are just really stiff and like, I don't know, it's very strange. And Sally Webster is going onto the ice, I saw as well.
Oh, I see. Honestly, it's full of people I don't care about as well. That's the thing. No. Like beyond watching Gemma Collins fall around on the ice, that's the only thing I want to see.
I'm a Celeb? Do you watch I'm a Celeb?
Well, the last one was awful. The one that they did in Wales. So
they're doing another one in Wales. It's going back to Wales again. And they have a big coup this year. They're big. Guess who their big name is? Who they signed for like, I think it was like 250 grand. They've been chasing this person for ages. They finally have an opportunity. Guess who it is?
Who?
Ian Beale.
No, you're lying to me.
I swear to God.
You're lying.
So Ian Beale's been out with Coronation Street taking like a 10-month sabbatical and
he's from EastEnders.
For EastEnders. And you know, it's so funny. I was reading the article the other day about Ian Beale going into it. And as they were saying, his name's Adam Woodgett. And they kept like going, Adam, you know, he's been in the longest running soap and blah, blah, blah. And then it said, as it went on, it said, so Ian has decided to start referencing him like
oh
as
my God.
Ian in the
oh
article.
God. Although to be fair, whenever like someone writes about me or you, we do prefer to be called Davina Victoria. Less my real name is splashed around this place, the better for me. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, that is our real name.
Some other things. I'm going to see Shirley Valentine in the Gaiety tonight and I'm very excited.
That's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, dying to go see that.
That was originally a one-woman play. I wonder, is it back being a one-woman play? Like, she's the only person in the play.
I mean, maybe because of social distancing.
Yeah, maybe that makes sense because that's how the movie started out because it was just one actress who was actually the woman from the movie, Pauline Collins. She played Shirley Valentine and she would talk to, like, she would tell the stories about, like, going to Greece and blah, blah, blah. But it was just her telling the story. So I'd say that's probably what it is. But that's how it became a movie because it was so popular. People loved it.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't been to like a play or a theatre in so long. I know you and me are going to Death Drop later on this month. Very excited for that. Also, just before we went live recording this, someone just sent me a dirty Twitter link to someone that we've both worked with. So I'll send you that straight after this.
Oh, okay, lovely. Have that to look forward to for like what? Nice 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Lovely.
And that's really about it. Maybe we'll pause for a little petty promotional moment. If you love our podcast, two things you can do. One, share anytime an episode comes out on your Instagram story, on Twitter, wherever it is. But also we do have an exclusive members only site, which is called patreon.com/pettylittlethingspod. Our Patreon person of the week is, and this is purely Davina, because he was at my gig on Friday and clearly went home locked. And I can see here that he signed up at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Love it.
So we applaud Drunken Decisions is Sean Hyland, who signed up for our top tier as a Petty Little Princess.
Woo, welcome, Sean. Welcome to the party.
We've tons of new content that is up at the moment, including next week. There's going to be a video called Diva on Diva, and it's all about Jess Glynn. So you can check that out next week when it gets released. And I think we should take a little break, Tavina, and come back. What's after the break?
We're going to have a couple of friends joining us, and we're going to be talking about all things drag king and gender. So it's all coming. We have the lovely Shay and Alex coming after this.
Okay, do we have someone at the door?
Bing bong.
Oh, we haven't seen them in a while. I mean, I, you know, you could say there's Davina and Victoria, yeah. But then...
Name a more also, iconic duo.
There's also Phil and Sanley. We've got Filthy Gorgeous and Sanley Knife in my apartment.
IRL.
It's a small
in real life.
I'm looking for the ball with the keys.
Oh, you have to lean into the mic. Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Pink lipstick drag mic from the George.
It's very, we're in the George and you're afraid of how much lipstick is on it.
And you're afraid you're going to catch something from the years of Annie Ball's lipstick.
I know. I've seen those mics. Posters. Syphilis is on the rise. Christ.
Can we start with the facts? How did you two meet?
That's a good question. I met you once and you completely looked straight through me, which was really funny.
I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't realize you were holding on to that.
Still, very much so. I think about it every night before I go to sleep, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
Yeah, okay. So Stanley was actually one of the two drag kings that I was aware of way back when, 17, 18 years ago.
Must be, yeah.
And he was performing with a fabulous performer called Sid Viscous.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in the front row of the George watching, I think it was, I'll say the name, Space Invader.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday night, and Stanley and Jude were performing, and I went up to Stanley afterwards. I was like, that was brilliant. Well done. And he's like, ah, cheers. And then walked the fuck away from me and couldn't have given a flying fuck about my existence.
Okay. So Stanley's the Davina.
I was probably tired. I'm gonna use that.
Yeah, I use that one as well. I'm tired. Yeah. I can't see.
Oh, Christ. And then, cut to however much longer I had gone to see the Shamcocks, which is the drag king troupe that Stanley was in, performing in the Sugar Club at the Lesbian Lives Conference. Mm-hmm. And I was absolutely enchanted with the whole thing. And I went up and asked himself and Jude how to get involved. And from that point on, we've been friends ever since.
And that time, there was quite an explosion of drag kings at that time, wasn't there? Because that was, you were saying, Sid Viscous had won the AMI, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was 2002. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. 2003.
I was in 2003, wasn't it? It was 2002, I think. And so then after that, it was just there seemed to be so many kings. I remember the Shamcocks did a special and there was 20?
700?
Yeah.
Cast of thousands.
How that came about was funny because there was the Alaf Festival. I don't even know if that's still running today, but the Alaf Festival was on. And
what's the Alaf Festival?
A lesbian arts festival.
It was a lesbian arts festival back in the day. And myself and Jude were performing at it, and some American king had seen us, but we didn't realise any of this. Flew home, that was fine, didn't hear anything. Suddenly, the Alaf Festival ring Jude and go, we've had this drag king from America wondering if you guys want to do
an exchange.
Yeah, effectively. Your troupe with their troupe.
Cool.
So Jude rings me and I was like, yeah, let's go to America, that'll be fun. Who do they want to go? And she's like, well, there's 15 of them. So we just literally took out our phones, started ringing all our friends. You're a drag king now, we're going to America. That is 100% how the Shamcocks started. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so that's where all of those kings came
from.
So
how many, from the Irish contingency, was there?
I think there were 10
that went.
Yeah, 10.
And give us some of the drag king names. Do you remember some of them?
Well, there's Gringo.
There was Gringo O'Hara.
Gringo was great.
Gringo was great.
Fun. Kind of like comedy kind of drag.
And had like a good solid character as opposed to, you know, just another lesbian in a suit. You know? Like myself.
Just in case he comes part of that time?
No. He would have been more around the Doppelgang era, I think. So maybe 4 or 5 years later, I think.
Was somebody called Eliza part of that?
Eliza? I don't remember.
No, not that I remember that. I'm so bad with names in real life, let alone drag names on top of it.
To be fair, I think Sid Viscous and Semi Knife were probably the best names in the troupe, to be fair.
Yeah, but because I always love, like, I love dodgy drag queen names and I love dodgy drag king names. Like, there's one going on that's always like, bend over. Like, oh, come on. So I was like hoping there was going to be something like that, but obviously it's a bit
just because you picked a glamorous name. Like, you know, Victoria's Secret seemed glamorous at the time.
Oh my God. And now look at them. They're folding all over. They're even closing down.
Well,
she closes down venues. Now Victoria's closing down.
I tell you.
Yeah, but it was quite a fun time. And you went up to America. Mm-hmm. And tell us, what was that? What was the story there?
It was great. There was a international drag king extravaganza, it was called at the time. And it was 2004, I think.
So it's like the drag king version kind of like AMI.
Oh,
it's
cool.
More just like full performance.
And where is that? Where was that?
It was in Chicago. But it was in Chicago that year. And we went over and we performed for about 3,000 people. But it was with a troupe that we effectively threw together. But it was a great experience because there was people who had acted on stage, people who kind of done different stuff but never as a drag king troupe, and then suddenly we're there in front of 3,000 people being like, okay, these people seem to like us, yay. And it was simple as that.
Going to America, I'd say that was all
it was great. It was phenomenal.
Especially if they were our mates, do you know what I mean?
They were really warm.
The phone book being like, right, they're coming, it's gonna be the sesh. But like, fast forward now, because I feel that like when I started drag, there was a lot more different drag types going around. Like, so we had like Dilemma was on stage, there was Kings going around. And I feel that like the scene has become maybe a little bit more same now. Yeah. So I'm seeing maybe less, I don't even remember the last time I saw maybe a new King.
Less diversity.
I think the Kings that kind of do come along don't seem to stick.
I think there's two sides to this. Okay. I think there's part of it is down to it's really hard to break into any of the mainstream bars to get any visibility there. I do think there's lots of drag king performers. They're just doing like underground nights or like door shares or just free nights for them and their friends or whatever it might be. So there are like creative spaces, but they're like pokey little holes in carriage bars and stuff, you know? So they do exist. I just think visibility, certainly in terms of like social media, it's a lot harder to see them. But like the likes of Dr. Count Evil, I'm hitting your microphone. The likes of Dr. Count Evil, like I was blown away when I saw him at DCU Drag Race. And I was just like, this is the shit I'm living for right here. This is the kind of creativity I want to see. It's like, it couldn't be more polar opposite from what I do, but I love that it's kinging in its own like.
Mm-hmm. Lane, Drag Race had an impact on that as well, I think, because I think suddenly when Drag Race exploded and there was like a lot more queens suddenly come on the scene, Kings just, there wasn't enough space really for everybody. That's because drag queens were so popular, we just kind of got, not, I don't want to say pushed to the side because that's not true, but there was a backseat taken by some people because of that, you know?
To be fair, like I think the transformation for most King characters isn't nearly as impactful visually.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The ads for drag queens, like it's I don't look hugely different in drag than I do sitting here with you right now, do you know, whereas you the pair of you, obviously. Like, I mean, I know right now.
Stunning.
Stunning. But like, if I had a scooter, I would be hollering shit at you as well, you know.
That is really interesting because I think Drag Race mm-hmm. has had a part to play with that because I think that people almost need to see what they can do potentially, if that makes sense, to go, oh no, I can do that too. Do you know the kind of way? Whereas when I came on the scene, I was seeing like Shirley or you were around and I was like seeing you guys around and I was like, I want to do that. Do you know the kind of way? But if I've never seen
if
you,
there's no visual kind of representation.
You know?
Because you did my show like so much and kings like, or you know, people who want to do drag king would come up and they'd be like always coming to you for advice.
Yeah,
I mean, your head would be kind of done in sometimes.
we all take one for the team.
Yeah, of course. but like you must have had a lot of people kind of coming up to you saying that they were thinking about it, and then probably a lot of people saying that and then not following through as well.
See, and that's a really good point, because so many of them, they see something, they're like enchanted with the idea of it, but then it's the follow through that's
lacking. And it's the work. You know? I don't think people understand the work that goes into it.
Like that's it. And especially if you do have a full-time like office bitch job or whatever, it's really hard to carve out time to be creative, especially on spec. So if you have to constantly churn out new material or whatever, like it sucks the fun out of it to some degree.
So does.
You know?
But like, now as well, it's easier kind of, I think nowadays for like people coming up that want to be drag kings, because back in like when we started and then even in the last 10 or the 10 years after that, there was nowhere to learn it. Yeah. So there was no like tutorials on YouTube. It was all
true.
It was literally taught like, how do you do your facial hair? Yeah, I'll show you how I do mine. And then with makeup, it was slightly different. You could go into Mac and go, how do I do a smoky eye? And they teach you how to do it, you know? Yeah. So it was a little bit easier, I think, in that way.
There's something I think about, because like you guys are probably doing drag like pretty much around the same time as us.
You're maybe a year ahead of us,
give or take. Yeah. But like in that time, I think everything was so much more organic for us, which is like such an amazing kind of process to kind of go through. And like, you're still constantly learning, but that was part of the fun.
Yeah.
You know?
And when things went wrong, but also,
which they did.
I probably spent like more time in a dressing room seeing you get ready than Sandy. And I've seen how your drag approach has changed as well.
Sure,
like, even from the facial hair thing. Do you know what I mean? Everyone was like painting it on first. Mm. And then I don't know where, but you were constantly pulling bags of like hair that was like snipped up and then like gluing hair.
You told me this. I don't know. Is this actually, did you take your hair from the barbers?
I used to ask for a sheet of the blue roll. I would put it in my lap. And then every time a clump of my hair would fall, I'd like squirrel it out and put it into my
lap. Awkwardness, you know, of literally leaving the barbers with your hair in your hands.
Thanks
a million. Did you tell them?
Most barbers, I would explain what was going on, as opposed to this fucking weirdo is keeping their hair. It's like, you know, you can't just
actually,
it back on.
Whatever about keeping your own hair, the weirdest thing that ever happened to me was what, like, you know, the way in dressing room stuff gets stolen all the time. Somebody stole my box of my own hair from my head, kept in the little Tupperware. Somebody stole it out of my drag bag.
It was Victoria.
Like, it was really
Victoria. She has a shrine to your inside.
I was imagining someone walking around with a brand new Merkin made from my head.
Amazing. Well, do you want to talk about dodgy beard jobs? I actually had this conversation yesterday, right? Mm. The first ever time I got into drag, as Stanley was saying there, there was no YouTube. There was no way to fucking learn how to be a drag king.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And Judah told me, you get some fake hair, you cut it up, you stick it on your face with spirit gum. Seems real simple when those are the instructions you get. The reality is the person I was performing with had gone to the joke shop at the top of Grafton Street and had bought one of those like Native American braids that's made of like that plastic nylon hair.
Right. Oh, you
know?
No.
So it's just plastic.
Yeah.
And had gotten, you know, those teeny tiny little scissors you get in sewing kits that you can barely ram your thumb and your finger into, and then a cheap shitty bottle of spirit gum. And we stood in the bathrooms in like Trinity College at the theater there, and we started to untwine this fucking plastic hair, and we were cutting it up, and then we have this sheet of paper with all this hair on it. No one told us you cut it up really, really fine. No, so we had like basically a pile of pubes on the bed. Because as the braid unraveled, it was wiry and curly, and we literally, you know, Team America, where he goes under like undercover with the like the patches of fucking hair. That's what I looked like my first time in drag.
You said sheet of paper, and I remember now you used to bring like a sheet of paper in, and I'd watch, and it would just catch all the hair, and then I was like just sitting watching, because I love, like, transformation is just my favorite part of the whole thing.
And tell us a little bit about that, like, what goes into, like, for people listening, like, what is the process? Because like, everyone sees on Drag Race to see people getting in makeup, they know that. What's the drag king process?
Well,
does that work?
I suppose much like the pair of you, we've all glowed up quite a bit since we first started. When I first started doing it, I did it like old school drag, as I like to call it, which is exactly that. It's cutting the hair up, it's drawing on the shape of beard, it's putting the glue on, it's sticking on the hair, and it's slowly molting into your cleavage for the rest of the night, you know. And then that got really time consuming and tedious, and I got lazy, and I just was sick of doing that, and it was destroying my skin.
It must be a nightmare to get off.
Destroys your skin.
You effectively have to scrape it off your own
face. Your fingernails. Because they didn't have proper adhesive removers either then. So I just started drawing it on, and then I realized I looked like I was, Amdram fan.
Like Mickey Mouse style.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, I've graduated to full like pastiche, like expensive, like proper lace
pieces. Lace beards.
I fucking love them.
Yeah, they're so good and much more convenient.
Yeah, exactly. And you're pretty similar, aren't you?
Yeah, I've moved on. Well, hopefully I'll be growing my own soon, but that's the thing, sorry. But with transforming, like, to be honest, it's what you don't see really with a drag king.
Yeah.
Because with a drag queen, it seems to be like it's flamboyant costumes and it's very much all of the makeup, which is my favorite part. Mm-hmm. But with drag kings, it's what's going on underneath to conceal your body. You know, now, obviously, I know you guys do that too, but it's so...
With what? What are you implying? Yeah.
How dare you?
What are you concealing from me?
How dare you?
So it's hugely uncomfortable because essentially you have to strap your chest down so you can't breathe while you're doing any of your drag. So you have to, no matter what number you do, you have to like work that into it to make sure that you can... you're alive at the end of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much
how uncomfortable is that?
It depends. Yeah, it depends.
We get asked about tucking and how uncomfortable that is. And to be honest,
it's not really uncomfortable.
Like, no, it's fine.
It's more uncomfortable to be untucked these days.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, when I'm in, like, say, Funderland or something like that, and they put those things on your chest on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they ever do that too tight on me, I start to get panicky and freak out.
Yeah.
So maybe is what I'm. It's gone through my head. Is that what it is? Are you feeling very confined?
It's worse. Well, when we both first started, we did, again, old school way, which is just using like, what are they called? Ace binders.
Yeah,
like, so it's
bandages.
Basically a bandage.
Yeah, bandages.
And you expel all of the oxygen from your lungs and you basically compress your rib cage as much as you can. Wow. You flatten your tits out and you get the bandage and you just wrap yourself over and over again.
As tight as you possibly can.
But the problem is you're constantly breathing from just
like really short breaths. Like,
really short breaths.
No shots.
No, but that's the thing. All joking aside, when I was doing your shows and we were doing dance routines, I was dying. So why I ended up investing in a proper actual binder.
I actually remember a couple of times we'd be performing and I'd like put my hand on you and I'd be like, it'd be like a brick wall.
Yeah.
Boom.
It was like, solid.
So solid.
Yeah,
like.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's why I ended up investing. So they're proper like.
But that must have like long term that would have like serious health effects.
Oh yeah. And there are plenty of, well, trans guys as well as like drag performers who will comment on the fact that you can do damage to yourself. Not of just course. Like. Your spine, but your breast tissue as well. Yeah. You know, like, and
I've heard people like kings breaking ribs and everything because of it. It's common.
Absolutely. One false move. It's like even Bunny in her corset. I'm like, sometimes I'm watching and I'm going, like, if she bends over and I'd pick up this shoe,
she ain't bending over.
Like, have you ever seen her bend?
she ain't bending over.
Down on her knees, maybe, but that's about the most of it.
Specifically with drag and friendship, because we've spoken so much about that in our podcast, because I think it's a whole other level of knowing someone weirdly. You share these weird experiences at gigs. You can get on each other's nerves, let's face it. How has that been in terms of a journey for you? Because Phil, you very firsthand got to see the 2 years that me and Davina really struggled to have a friendship at all. Mm-hmm. Like really firsthand, just to put that in there. Like,
okay, don't keep hamming it in. We get it. We weren't talking.
It's fine. but he did keep whispering to me, I'm Team Victoria.
I had a team.
Yeah. So we get on great.
Just kidding.
No, it's been like, I suppose like every friendship, you kind of, especially because we've been friends for so long, it's years and years, like, like
once you acknowledged Phil in the first
place. Once he eventually realized they existed,
and that was only about 6 months ago. So we're like every friendship, you go through like where you see each other all the time, mm-hmm. and like you're really living in each other's pockets, mm-hmm. and then you don't see each other for ages, and it's not that you've fallen out, it's just you've moved on and you're doing other things with your life, and then but we've always reconnected every single time that's happened. Like we've rolled our friendship for years and years. Yeah. But yeah, it seems.
And do you think that drag has kind of kept you connected in some way, or given you a special, more of a bond?
It did initially. Yeah. Like we have some mad memories of shit that we did back in the day. Like I just, even as you were saying that, I had a flashback to some shitty fucking club in Galway.
It's always Galway.
I knew the next one was going to be Galway.
Anyone in Galway right now is feeling triggered.
Sorry to the populace of Galway. I'm sure
we love Galway.
We do though. It's the best memories. Yeah.
But we were doing a number and we were doing that song, you know, I Need a Hero.
Yes.
And we were all dressed as superheroes. Okay. And myself and himself were Batman and Robin, except I was clearly Robin, you know, because we both know he was going to be Batman, you know. But I was too fucking big for the costume. And we'd ordered them from that place up off the top of Grafton Street, right? Put your deposit there. Fucking expensive.
Yeah, like a proper costume shop. You get
and
it. Okay.
We'd been running through the numbers and there were so many numbers in the show. And I was just off stage having finished one. And we were at the tail end of the number to come out. So I was desperately trying to get out of whatever I was in. My binder came off. So I had just literally naked baps flown into this Robin costume, ripped a fucking hole up the arse crack of it, and went out with like sweaty under tit, you know, like the whole works. And I was like, this is the most undignified thing I think I've ever done.
Oh, and to be honest,
with life, Batman.
To be honest, the reason we're all here today is because you never gave me the deposit that I lost on that costume. So we just want to wrap back around.
I'm really sure you remembered, you know, you struggle with these things.
Revolut, for sure.
Tons of weird and wonderful shit like that that we've done over the years.
And I have to say now, Stanley did let's see if that you two had a bit of a feud as well.
Did we?
Yes.
Yes. Did we?
We did.
Phil's giving you energy at the moment.
Did we?
I'm not alluding to anything.
I'm dying to hear your spin on this.
Here we go.
I'd like to say we crossed wires potentially.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
No, we shared an apartment and everything for years.
Oh, so did you? Rooms? Yeah. Okay.
So when I said we lived in each other's pockets, we really did. Yeah. So then when we were like moving out of that apartment and moving on and stuff like that, it's obviously got a bit awkward because we were moving house and things like that, and we weren't going to be living together anymore. And, you know, so it was just that time really.
See me looking right through the side of his head.
I'm trying to be super subtle.
I'm trying to be so PC and diplomatic about this. Yeah, no, some toxic cunt basically started spreading rumors. Telling everyone that he was saying that.
That was a very PC version.
It was very, to be honest with you, genuinely what happened was it was a person just came in between and started spreading absolute rubbish, like it was lies. Yeah. And we just both believed it.
Yeah.
And because you do, you know, when someone comes to you and they come to you really sincerely and they're like, this thing's happened and this person said this about you and they said that about you. And we just went, okay, well, if that's how you feel, because we weren't living together anymore. So we assumed that it was true.
Yeah.
And then it was literally the first night that we ended up out, randomly met each other and just started chatting.
Yeah.
And we spoke about it and it was like, oh my God, it's all rubbish. And then from then on, it was, you know, we were fine.
That was years later.
Yeah, you know? It was years.
Wow.
How long did it go on for? It was like 2-3 years,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Also and like one person.
It wasn't like there was an active feud. We just literally went our separate ways and that was it. You know,
no,
we
never crossed paths again.
Yeah, you had the really t-shirt for me, didn't you?
Story. Yeah, yeah.
Team Phil.
I could be either.
Yeah, Team Phil.
Oh, it works in so many ways.
But during that time, was there any little petty moments? Was there anything? Because there was many.
Do you know what? I
would
honestly say, and this is absolutely true, hand on heart, there was no petty moments between us. Like when I started even going out with my now wife at the time, and we spoke about, you know, like myself and Phil and our friendship and everything, and never would I have, because I didn't have a bad word to say, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when, like Sinead said to me, she was like, why don't you guys see each other more now? Yeah. I was like, well, awkward thing. And then eventually, now you guys are great friends as well. Oh, yeah. Like it's all, you know, come full circle. But it literally took that time for us to, like, it's like anything. You shouldn't believe other people. Yeah. But it took that time for us to kind of start chatting again to realize, why did we believe somebody else? Like, why did we get
And we were kids as well.
Yeah, like, we were
in our early 20s. And it's not as if, like, you have any fucking sense, you know? You'd listen to shit because why would someone make that shit up?
Right.
Yeah.
And now we know.
And now we know.
Toxic cunt.
I believe he drives a scooter in an enclosed home area.
And one other thing that I'd like to know, because, like, you guys, like, again, we've been kind of out on the scene kind of probably the same time. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I think about is, like, the lesbian scene and what that, you know, because there was all these, like, little one-nighters, and, like, you guys were pretty into that as well, weren't you?
You were only allowed legally be a lesbian once a month anyway.
One a Monday.
What is that about? Why?
This is the problem back then anyway. I don't want to say now because things have shifted quite a bit. But back then, lesbians loved to bitch that there was no space for them, but then would never go to a space when it was created for them.
Yeah. No, you see, I slightly disagree with that. I think they would go to the space, meet somebody, and then never return.
Oh, and go missing. Literally life partners that you hold.
Walk off like little lobsters into the distance.
Actually, that's a very good point.
There's a little bit of A, a little bit of B.
I think it's a bit from column A.
Because it's like people that say, oh, I miss Dragon.
You never went.
I get that all the time. And it's so hard for me not to go, listen,
I closed it down.
Did you go? Because you didn't go. That's why it's gone. Do you know what I mean? However, now when we look at, like, Street 66, like, when during that, because they were closed, I think the longest, were they? Out of everything,
they were
the last to open. But from what I hear, that during the time that they were closed, they got calls from their regulars saying, if the, you know, you find yourselves in trouble, we got your back. Do you know that kind of way?
Amazing.
We don't want to lose this space. Now, I should have said the story, but I've already said it anyway. But I think that is the closest thing we have now to a regular 7 day a week proper space.
Do you know, just as we're talking about this now, and I just kind of realize how much time has passed, and, like, even just since we've been out, and how things have changed now. It's like, because even when I'm saying it, it's like, there used to be, like, lesbian night, bi night, and there was, like, now it's like those things seem to be kind of
integrated.
Everything was kind of, like, segregated in a weird way. Like,
well, do you know what? When we first, I don't know, you think you had the same experience, but when we first started going out, if you were to go into a quote unquote straight bar back in the day, suddenly you were, like, asked questions in the toilets about, you know, why you're here and things like that. And it was just really awkward. But now I don't think that really exists. Now it's much more open and people will just go anywhere. It's not effectively a straight bar, it's just a bar. You know, so I think that's kind of taken the, I don't know, like, this need for space and safe spaces away. Not entirely, but
scares me in a little bit, because I feel like we have all had the best experiences in these queer spaces, and there's people who are going to come along and never experience that. That will, like, eventually lead to the fact that there may not need to be a space, or that it's not financially viable to have a space. And that scares me too, because I'm like, I want to go to the George until the bitter end. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I don't imagine a world without the George.
It's like a cockroach or a Twinkie. It'll survive an apocalypse.
Being honest, it felt slightly awkward, by the way, just there talking about the lesbian scene. But you both have such, like, the memories of that scene. And we obviously want to talk about that. But you both as well, in the last, I don't know how long it's been, because the pandemic has felt about 7 years long. Pretty major moments in your own lives that you've had conversations that maybe you've been thinking about for a long time. I've no idea. To be honest, I'm going to be really real. All I read was the Facebook post. I thought, it's none of my fucking business. So I'm reading that post. So I'm going to go, congratulations. And whenever the next time we're seeing each other together, maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we won't. Do you know what I mean?
Is Facebook the modern version of, like, medieval times when someone will put a thing up on you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was considering taking out a full page spread in the Irish Times.
A town notice.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so tell us what's been going down.
Tell us. We like to call it the Great Teat Eat, but it's basically, God, where do you even fucking start?
So
this?
Look, it goes back so many years. Like, for everybody else, it seems so new. You know, that the fact that we both had kind of gender related journeys over COVID, but it really is way past, like, way pre-COVID, and even to be honest with you, most of this started when we were in our teens and 20s. Yeah. But yeah, COVID gave a lot of time for self-reflection. Yeah, I think that's where started.
Certainly, like, we're in different places ourselves, like where we are in our journeys. I hate that word, but it's also the best word to use.
We're all on them, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? And like, would I be in too deep? Like, life is just one big journey. And then we die.
And then we die. Yeah, I figured I'd die 5 kilos lighter, basically. But yeah, no, like there are various reasons as to why it happened for me during COVID. I think there were a few catalysts that kind of just gave me a solid kick in the cunt and was like, do you know what? Let's figure out why you're unhappy, do you know? And it was pulling on threads of like trying to figure it out.
Because you just were feeling kind of down on yourself.
I've been living with depression for years and I didn't know. Like, it wasn't until I went to get some fucking help for it that I was like told, yeah, actually, you've got some shit going on here, do you know?
I think a lot of people as well can just, like, are probably struggling with that, but don't even know.
So many people go undiagnosed. Yeah. Like, I had all sorts of neurodiversity things I've been diagnosed with that I was oblivious to, because I was raised in a generation where you just got the fuck on with it.
And true.
It was
Irish
notions
mentality.
Going for fucking diagnoses, you know? And I didn't know any better. So I just kind of grudgingly got on with life, accepted you have tits, you don't like them, but such is. And because my biggest thing for me was I never had lower dysphoria. Like, I never had any sense that I was born without a penis. And as a result, I always thought, well, you can't be trans, because everyone I knew who was trans had serious, like, life or death dysphoria issues. Like, when they woke up in the mornings, they genuinely couldn't face a day again being misgendered, and they wanted to have a penis and whatever it might be. And I just didn't feel trans enough. So it felt like I was somehow stealing someone else's thunder, or somehow undermining someone else's journey by considering even for a second that I might fit into that category. And it wasn't until I started learning more language around it and understanding things better and tried to get over my own fucking internalized transphobia and my intolerance for things. And I'm like, I'm not proud to admit it, but I was definitely pretty intolerant. Like, when I heard non-binary for the first time, I rolled my eyes so hard, because I was like, of course there's a new fucking label. You can't just be this, or you can't just be, because I was in full curmudgeonly old man, like, this is how I was raised and this is what I learned. And anything new was scary and threatening and, you know, all of that bullshit.
Mad, because I would never have thought of you as that person either, though, because you're always so positive and so, like, you know, full of, like, warmth,
which I try to be. Like, that is who I am as a human, but unfortunately, like, you were never formed fully fucking woke and evolved, you know, when you're born.
And we're all still learning, that's the thing as well. And it's like, I think sometimes when all these labels and terms, it's so confusing to people, so you kind of just, you automatically kind of can go, I don't understand, which makes you, like, it can just be a bit
people
of a,
are afraid of things they don't understand. And that's okay, you know. And I think even for us who are going through that stuff, we had to educate ourselves, because it's everybody then, once you say the words, or you say, you know, what you are, what you're doing, people turn to you then and look at you as if you're the oracle. And you're like, well, I don't know.
I barely fucking look after myself. Responsibility for someone else. Yeah. And you have to remember, like, when we were coming up, like, I'm 40 this year, you know, and I would have been raised watching movies. Movies like Ace Ventura, and Ace Ventura, harmless, lovely family movie with a grotesquely transphobic like theme in it, you know? So everything I ever saw about trans representation was they were the butt of a joke, they were a serial killer, they were fucking mental, you know, whatever it was. And I was like, I don't want to be that. I don't want the world to see me as that, you know?
And what you said earlier about being trans enough, that was kind of part of where my journey started, because it was about 20 years ago I started telling close people around me at that time. I was like, look, I genuinely think I'm trans.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you were there for kind of the later part of that journey, but I was telling people, and then the people closest to me were like, well, I don't really think you are. And of course, when you're 18 and 19, you just go, okay, you're older than I am. You know more than I do. You don't think I am. Maybe I'm not. And then I just literally put it in a little box and I was like, I'll deal with that later. I'll get a good career. I'll get a house. I'll get a marriage. I'll get all that. And then I'll come back to that, you know? And it's one of those things that you can never leave it, because it literally sits there every day going, I'm going, some stage you're going to have to come and deal with this, you know? But it's that trans enough thing. And that's hard, because you have to be so sure yourself. And how are you sure? You know, like, it's difficult.
And, you know, even just when I talk, because you two are so, like, you know, you're intelligent, you're emotionally intelligent, and you, you kind of know yourselves. I'm thinking about all these people probably out there that actually just haven't got that, mm-hmm. and how they must really struggle yeah. with mm-hmm. something like that. If you're not equipped to deal with that, or you don't know, that like must be like a living hell.
But you know, like that's why your point earlier on about like, you know, visual representation mm-hmm. and that like access to information, and the fact that this country is so woefully backward about everything to do with trans mm-hmm. healthcare, like there, it's just, it's diabolical. And you yeah. can totally see why so many young trans kids end up taking their own lives mm-hmm. or struggling mm-hmm. with their mental health.
Because where are we at with that at the moment? Because weirdly, I feel like I know more about what's happening and it's equally as bad in the UK than I do here. Mm. So what I was aware was there was someone in Loughlinstown that yes. people mm-hmm. could go see. I know some friends that went there, but then the waiting list even to go see that person was really long.
Mm. Yeah.
And then even once you got that appointment, the process was again really drawn out and very long. And then I'm hearing now that there's nobody in Loughlinstown. Is there someone at all?
Yeah, so there is. There mm. is a doctor in Loughlinstown, an endocrinologist, but you have to be referred from your GP. You go on a waiting list, and it could be, they say it's 2 to 3 years, but we know people that are on the list 5 years and still wow. haven't been seen.
Oh my God.
So what a lot of people do is they'll go privately through either a doctor here, which is, there's not that many. I think I've heard of maybe a handful really, or some people go privately through a UK-based service.
Okay.
And that's probably the quickest way to go. Now, there's still obviously reams of paperwork and assessments and things you have to go through with that, but it is a simpler process.
And cost though.
Yeah, and cost. Yeah, it's like, yeah, there's that too. But to be honest, there's two sides I think to it here in Ireland. You've got the health side that is really poor, and mm-hmm. it's underfunded, and there is no real services for trans people coming up, particularly younger people. Mm-hmm. But from a societal perspective, society has changed, from my opinion, leaps and bounds. Because even when I came out, and I only came out publicly 6 months or 8 months ago.
Was that weird, by the way?
Yeah, well, I thought it was going to be really hard. Because when I came out originally, I came out as gay. And I thought, you know, when I was 15 or 16, I thought, and that was a difficult journey, you know. And I ended up having to leave the small town I lived in and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I thought, here we go again. And I didn't face any of that. It's been really positive. Like, everybody's been great. And I'm not talking about my circles, because I kind of knew my circles would be good. You're surrounding yourself. Yeah. But I'm talking about like aunties and uncles that live down the country that are in their 50s and 60s, like neighbors who are, you know, elderly even on your street, just so supportive, so understanding, like trying their absolute best not to make a mistake, you know, that kind of like grabbing onto everything. Yeah. But yeah, like health wise, it's not good. But society wise, I think we're on the move. Like,
oh, that's good. It's good to hear that you're having that positive reaction, because everyone deserves that. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I am older, so it is easier for me. I don't really care what people think. I don't need kind of their approval, but their support is lovely. Totally. But if I don't have it,
So we're just going to have to cut that there, guys. If you want to listen to the rest of our interview with Filthy Gorgeous and Stanley Knife, aka Alex and Shay, you can sign up to the Patreon, as now we're calling it, the Patreon, where there's lots of extra content, video and audio and all kinds of craziness over there. So, but in the meantime, I think we should kick off with our favorite time of the week.
Okay, so Davina, Rotter of the Week. I have a few written down. I mean, there's lots of things that have irked me over the last 2 weeks, but I'm going to stick with these. Shall I kick off with my first one?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Anybody that replies to me in all capital letters, like there is no need for it. Why are you writing in capital letters? Do you know how much effort it is to write in capital letters? Or even if you're just writing something slightly like pointed or rude in capital letters to like really drive home a point, you're rude. Like, it sounds like you're shouting at me. I'm not into it. Why are you writing in capital letters? Like, it's like a poison pen letter.
I don't really mind that, but for some reason, like the certain, I don't know what it is. Actually, I do know why it is. When I'm typing, like, you know, predictive text comes up. Mm-hmm. If I write the word that's, like THATS comes up as capital letters all the time in my predictive text. And that's obviously because I say, and that's
The truth.
Oh my God.
You know, when I haven't given someone like a harsh like moment of reality, yeah. So it always comes up and I'm like, oh God, because you'd be sending someone like a serious message and you'd be like, and that's why we're going to do it this way. So I don't know how to like take it down because I've nearly sent it a couple of times when it's like, and that's just the way it is, or yeah. That's where we're going to meet up. So yeah. But I do that sometimes if I'm being really like, it's like, it is like you're shouting.
It is. People are doing it on purpose. And some people, I mean, like some people do it and they concentrate so much on the capital letters that they're not even spelling the words correctly. Like, and that's even more worse.
Yes, it is. I can totally relate to that. But at the same time, it's not the worst in the world. Mm-hmm. Mainly just because I do it. So. My word of the week is, you're going to enjoy this one. And I'm sure if there's some drag queens out there listening, you'll probably relate to this too. It doesn't even matter if you've just started drag or you've been doing drag for like 4 to 5 years. People, and this is, it's coming up to now, it's like always around Halloween time, the messages will begin. Hun, do you know where I could get shoes in a size UK 14?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
People who ask where to get big high heel shoes.
Or for like, a lend.
Or for a lend, if they want to borrow shoes. Like, first off, I don't have a size UK 14 shoe, firstly and foremost. So also, if I want to look for something, if I want to buy something, I just Google it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just Google it. Now, like most people can just, nowadays, heels aren't like the holy grail. Like before, when we started drag, mm-hmm. you could not get a pair of heels. Like if you found a website that sold like luxury lady tall yeah. heels, you had to like, that was, you know.
I had to tie a pair of shoes to my legs at my first time in drag because I couldn't find like a UK 11. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like we were limited back then, but we're not now. Like now there's lots of websites. You can actually buy them even on eBay or Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can buy big shoes. And also lots of women now have like bigger feet. So it's like they're being more catered to. So there's much more choice and stuff available. So people message and saying, but it is actually people who is asked to borrow shoes. I'm like, firstly,
ew.
I don't want your club foot, which are verrucas, in my shoes.
Yeah.
Second of all, my shoes are expensive. Mm-hmm. I was like, they're actually like my pride and joy. Like I love a nice boot or a shoe.
Yeah.
And I will never forget years ago, I had these boots and I fucking loved them. They were just like one of my favorites. And it was when I actually lived with April back in the day. Mm-hmm. And she, and you know, that was when like shoes were limited. So they were like kind of gold. So anything you had was good. And she was doing a show and I was away or something. And she wore my boots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all I'm just going to say is, April would have been a little heavier than me. Right? And when I say little heavier, I mean a hell of a lot heavier. Mm-hmm. And her calf was like, basically like someone's waist, right?
Yeah.
So she'd cram into my like little center calf, she'd put in the boot, and then she'd stretched all the calf out. So when I went back, it was like massive. But because of her weight on the shoe, the heel was starting to buckle underneath the mm-hmm, shoe. Mm-hmm. Like the heel was going in, and it was just a matter of time before it snapped. But I fucking loved those boots. I never got over it. And certain people have borrowed heels in the past, and like, everyone walks differently in heels. Everyone carries themselves differently. And some people carry their weight in the front. Some people carry the weight in like their heel. Mm-hmm. And I'm not into like someone stretching out and their big, like wide foot being rammed into my little shoe. Yeah. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah. I can also verify that as someone who had to close April's thigh high boots a few times, I was nearly calling in the fucking fire brigade at one point to help me get that zip closed.
Let's be real. You were like in a cold sweat doing that.
There's nothing cold about my sweat, okay? My next one is quite general. In fact, I'm going to throw two. Firstly, I'm rattled at the thoughts of having to share lifts with people again because I hate sharing a lift with somebody. Like, don't share it with me. I'd rather go on my own. I'll wait for the next one. But the second one is quite general. I am sick of Love Island people. I am sick of seeing them everywhere. I don't care if Molly May is now Petty Little Thing or Pretty Little Things ambassador or company director or something.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
No.
It's like they're multiplying like gremlins. Do you know what I mean?
And I have to say as well, there's certain kind that I've noticed as well, there's certain brands out there in particular that are really flogging these like Insta huns.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like their day is coming to an end. It has to be.
I hope so.
It's like, it's just so generic. There's nothing kind of interesting or creative, or they all look exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
And they've nothing to say for themselves, and they're no crack.
No crack. Oh, no crack at all. Like, I was like, I opened up the like news today and it was like, Molly May wants to get engaged, age 22. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, who cares? Go get engaged. I couldn't give a fuck. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, are people really living for that news? Because I personally don't care. Great if you want to release like a line of clothes, thrilled for you, but yeah, like not that. No, I mean, that's it. It's probably very general, but I'm over them.
Yeah, and eyeshadow palettes, enough of them as well. Mm. Like, enough with the eyeshadow palettes. Like, oh my God, like, it's just like, that's an epidemic.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually like eyeshadow palettes. Like, how many eyeshadow palettes can you have?
Oh, well, they're all coming from the same factory as well in China. So like, it's all the same shit. Do you know what I mean?
It's just nuts. Like, imagine that bunging up your house, literally like 50 palettes in your fucking, in your bedroom. Hilarious. Mm-mm. And the dust, that couldn't be good for your lungs.
No, clown lung. That's us.
Well, that's it. That's all our writers of the week. Yeah. We hope you enjoy them. They are valid, and you know, there'll be plenty more where that came from next week.
We said what we said, and we won't be taking it back. No. In the meantime, go check out our podcast on Instagram. It is at Pay Little Things Pod. Share it, share the love, tell your ma, tell your granny, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. But until next time,
stay petty.
Mwah, kisses.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.